This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us Mike Lawrence,
Anne Weir,
Stuart Burks,
Alison Milden,
Vicky Marie Buchanan,
and John Ward.
Celebratory meals. The only food I really associate with Easter is the chocolate, the Easter eggs.
Associate spices.
Hot cross buns.
Hot cross buns.
Hot cross buns is probably more for me than the Easter eggs.
Yes.
Hot cross buns.
One a penny, two a penny. Hot cross buns. Do you have this song?
Yes.
I think for Easter, for our main meal for Easter, it would be roast chicken rather than the beef that we'd have on other Sundays.
Yeah.
Because chicken was for our family anyway, it was the meat of choice for celebrations.
Okay. We had, from a church angle, we had Fridays. It was definitely the hot cross buns on Friday and no meat for dinner. So we would, because it was Good Friday.
Would you have fish?
We would have fish or a bean sort of meal, fried rice, later on fried rice with beans or something, but mainly fish we would have. And then on Sunday we would have roast lamb because of the story, the lamb and the cross on the doorways and things like that, and lamb, Passover lamb. So we would have roast lamb, and then farm had lambs, had sheep. So those were our...
You mentioned Passover.
Passover was Thursday, Maundy Thursday was Passover. Okay. And so it was the leavened bread and the lamb, the leg of lamb, and the spices and things, and you would get together and... There was a story, a church story, and thinking about the Last Supper of Jesus. So that was the start of Easter for us.
No, I'm just thinking of the Jewish Passover, which is...
Well, it's linked. Yeah, it's very close to the Jewish Passover.
Yes, same time.
I don't recall Easter being a particularly important difference in our life, except when... My paternal grandmother was still alive and fit. We would go to her for lunch, and I don't know which day, but it was fish and white sauce with parsley.
Yeah.
And we did not look forward to it.
No, most probably the Friday.
But what we did get was Easter eggs. I don't particularly remember hot cross buns. But Easter eggs, and we used to eke it out just a little bit broken off.
You weren't the sibling that hoarded while the others ate it all.
Yeah, to the point that it would get put in the drawer to be safe, and you'd forget
it. Did you have a
and
hollow
months
eggs?
Later, you might do a bit of a tidy up, and here would be a half finished. Easter egg
was
the chocolate all going white.
Hollow egg. Whereas we tended to get the marshmallow eggs, and
we did
often we got the one you could get in an egg cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So you had a fancy egg cup, and so in the morning, and so then you'd have an ordinary egg in your new egg cup.
We would probably have eaten the hot cross buns, but the reason the Easter eggs stood out was you were given them. So it's sort of like, we get a present of an Easter egg. Yeah. And like you said, if it's a big hollow egg, that's all right. But if it's a small hollow egg, you feel a little bit shortchanged.
And you just had something inside it.
So the
hollow eggs that had...
Some sweets or something.
Something inside.
But often it was the boxes that looked best.
What about you guys? What did you do?
Easter wasn't a big thing in our family, and Easter eggs were a thing we gave the kids, really, not the adults. Mm. And certainly, certainly the hot cross buns were not a big thing. We might have had a couple, but it wasn't a big thing. But nowadays, you buy the equivalent all year round. They're not called hot cross buns,
yes,
but
I
they're
know.
Called currant buns, but they're still the same bun.
Well, I find that something similar with the chocolate biscuits. When I was young, you get a bit, well, an actual sort of bit, a layered bit, sandwich type biscuit with chocolate round, individually wrapped, and occasionally you get one, and it's a special treat. Now you buy a pack of about a dozen of these, and you open them on the table, and each time you walk past, you have another. Mm. So it's just nothing special anymore. Yeah. But it's also an unbalanced diet. Instead of having something like something very rich as a treat, it's more the norm,
which
then means your palate gets adjusted to the super sweet things or super salty and so on. And whereas we would have found, I found raw vegetables quite tasty when I was young, and they are now if you're not eating lots of sugar, but if you're eating
is there anything that special anymore? Because they just have it all.
Well, it's like toys. They've got so many. Idea of, what's it, a young girl years ago might have had one special doll and all the games and ideas and things they put into that, and now they've got a row of 20.
The thing that's special about Easter these days is having a couple of days off school or work.
It's
what people look forward to now.
Or chocolate.
Well, adults chocolate. Do. For children, because they've got, I don't know what the school holidays they have.
I think you're right. I think the majority is. I think there's still the Christian element of Easter. But I do hear you, you know, and I think there's a lot of people that, Easter is chocolate.
Yeah.
Easter eggs, which we got on Easter Sunday.
Even that Christian element that you've mentioned, I think is being tried to be suppressed because not everybody's a Christian. Which seems.
I do a lot of choral work in my spare time. And Easter's always been huge.
Easter's actually a bigger Christian festival than Christmas.
But it's been huge. And
but that's interesting, though, the recording that we did the other day with Guy Donaldson. He was saying that obviously his emphasis so much has been on classical music, but saying that this is something that's, or the interest in that is going. The younger people have an interest in a different type of music. So,
but that, we still do the favourite Easter binge, as it were, on music. I don't really, I've never taken in all this chocolatey stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard on the brass band instruments to eat sweets and
play
the band things.
No good at all.
I sort of got
it's been like smoking in sports.
I sort of got weaned of that stuff.
I've
been praying in a brass band since I was 15.
Yeah.
So.
But do schools have to underplay these Christian, like Christmas?
Well, you're not even allowed to talk about it.
Exactly.
You're not allowed to talk about it because you've got so many diverse religions non-religion, and so...
Also, our funny jokes against the opposition, all the mix are doing it, figure the nose and chewing it, before you've got a start.
Oh, Catholic and Protestant.
Never say that in a school.
Well, I did. And we had glorious stone fights, I tell you.
Well, the idea, you can't do that because it might lead to conflict. There's been enough conflict between Protestants and Catholics.
Over the years.
You know, and those characters, they used to walk on one side of the stream and I was walking the other side of the stream.
Oh, no, that's really...
I think a big change, though, for New Zealand, probably, seems a strong emphasis, is the whole change in shopping hours, because there was the traditional New Zealand weekend where all sorts of things closed and people did other things. And even, I mean, the way it's affected Christmas with Boxing Day sales, so people are straight back into the shopping.
Oh, Good Friday. Just a standard public holiday because it's representing Christ being crucified, but now it's all the garden centres started rebelling, didn't they? And saying, blow
Easter
it.
Sunday, yeah.
It's Easter, yes. And so I think there's real debate about that, isn't it? Whether they're opening up on Good Friday and then on Easter Sunday, with they used to open up at midday, didn't they? Mm. I don't know, but I don't know where it's at.
In my trade. But in my trade, Easter and Christmas particularly, were, well, see, you've got the Christian Christmas.
Mm.
And but it's huge in the printing trade and in the printing wrapping trade.
Mm.
We were just off our feet with the stuff. We had no time to worry about thinking about it. We just had to do it.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Well, it's interesting. Though. I was with a group just yesterday evening and talking about sort of changes that are happening, problems where they talk about climate change and the environment and plastics and so on. So much of it is from overconsumption, and yet we've moved more and more to emphasis on be out at work producing and then consume things rather than relax, socialising and community and interaction.
Yeah.
There's a broad change in emphasis that we have, and how you swing back from that, I don't know.
And people working from home now too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another thing too. That's reducing that social interaction.
Yeah,
at
the time, yeah.
Yeah, what about Christmas then?
We've
talked about Easter. What about Christmas?
Well, that happened at Easter too.
No,
but Christmas too.
What about you, Mike? What was
Christmas?
Christmas
is more of a family time.
Mm-hmm.
Go to somebody's place for. I think we've gone away from Christmas dinner. It's more just perhaps a lunch these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a dinner, there's always somebody that can't participate in the discussion because they're out in the kitchen preparing a meal. So lunch is much better, it can be prepared beforehand and everybody can participate in it and socialising before the meal.
That's
of course, at the time of day, it's usually very, very hot in the middle of the day in Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's not conducive to a large meal.
Yeah. Well, it's particularly if you think of a traditional Christmas meal, which is a Northern Hemisphere meal with the heavy roast and for the in the middle of summer, is not the most appropriate thing to be cooking, particularly for the person who has to be in the kitchen, the very hot kitchen with cooking the food.
It was always associated with a table full of DB, you know, the beer.
I obviously growing up in England, I was used to the traditional English thing, and I don't know how many of you when you were young, I know they've moved away from it here, and I found my children, it was just way too heavy for them, so you go for the salads and I wasn't used to the idea of a cooked ham for Christmas, you know, you cook some meat. Well, I can see the benefits of ham for sandwiches and all sorts of things. But did you, when you were young, were you given the traditional English type Christmas, or had it already adapted?
Yes, definitely.
My mum and dad were from England and Scotland, and they definitely loved the Christmas.
It was special because there was special food, and now you just get
And the Christmas pudding had to have money in it.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
But my father was actually really clever because he served it and at the table. But at our place, the money was not actually boiled in the pudding. Dad got a very sharp knife, cut a little slit, pushed all the coins in, and so as he was carving the pudding into slices, he could make sure that every slice had at least one coin in it.
That is so clever. Oh, very good. We didn't have that.
In future it'll have to be bank cards, but probably the obsolete and you just slide in these cell phones.
Yeah. Well, unless people go back to the old, because we also had silver charms that you used to get. You used to be able to get specific Christmas silver charms that could be boiled in the pudding.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that if you got one of the charms, so that it didn't have to be repurchased every year, you could have them in our family anyway. Dad would buy them back off you.
Oh,
Ah. And so you got the charm,
yeah.
And then he'd give you a coin in exchange to go back so it was ready for next year.
Now that reminds me of something else. Though.
You take care of inflation? Did you take care of inflation?
I can't remember the details of that, but that was, you know, it was rather nice having it for a day or so, but then you gave it back ready for the year.
But we've, as well, if you've got a group of people at here, especially a lot of children, the idea of an Easter egg hunt.
Yes.
But apparently that can go wrong. If you use the chocolate Easter egg wrapped in silver and you hide those around outside, people don't find them. By the time they're found days later, there's all these ants got in them. So I know some groups, they hide plastic Easter eggs all over and then you can exchange those for the chocolate.
You put in the token. It doesn't actually work if you've got Labradors either.
Oh, because they sniffed them out.
But we have changed, haven't we, in food, because I know in what would it be, the last sort of 20 years probably, we've gone from the traditional turkey or chicken and the dinner and the steamed puds and things. But now I think we've got our confidence more as New Zealanders, and we're in summer, so
we go to the beach.
We've got fish on the barbie, we've got the barbecue, or you know, we have the lunch, and we have more fresh fruit salads and things.
But still, bit of Christmas cake.
Yes, we still have the Christmas cake. Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do.
Yes. Not necessarily fully iced.
No,
but
we have the Christmas cake. Yeah.
We still like our Christmas carols, don't we?
Yes. Mm. And they've changed a little bit because, Alison, I was just thinking, I used to remember singing in the bleak midwinter that Christmas carol, and I used to stand there thinking it's not bleak midwinter, and that one used to really rile me.
No,
but now there's New Zealanders who are writing Christmas carols too, as well as the traditional Christmas carols.
Well, was it the pukeka in the pomegranate?
Yes, on the 12th. Yes, there is that one.
But I never felt Christmas was Christmas, really, until I went to living in England.
Ah.
And then it felt like Christmas because we were brought up on cards with robins, snow, etc., etc. So that early conditioning linked totally where here Christmas is just a special day. Lots of food.
Also, Christmas took over from a pagan festival, so it was a suitable time of year for the Northern Hemisphere, and in fact it was something that we saw, you know, summer, that's sort of nice weather, but when you've got this, especially further north, you get much shorter days in England in winter and so on, so you've got this long, dark, cold, wet period of several months, and to have something like Christmas in the middle of it, just it was something to really look forward to. Whereas here, it's actually been a sort of a problem if you have to get your school summer holidays centred around Christmas, when the best summer weather is February, the kids are already back at school by then.
In the brass band again, we look forward to Christmas with the cash box. You see, we go around from the 1st of December, or even we get it a week before, and finish out just on Christmas. Christmas caroling on the back of a truck.
Yes.
And I spent all my years doing that.
Yeah.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. You wouldn't be allowed to now. There'd be
No.
So you might get something in the plaza that would be things like that.
You can still go around the back. They use smaller vehicles.
Okay.
And the cops are allowed, as long as
with scaffolding and seatbelts.
Just about. Seatbelts, I think.
I think when there's been Christmas parades and things, you know how they used to have lolly scrambles out to kids, and things. You're not allowed to do that now.
They might be injured by a boiled sweet.
Oh, it's mad, doesn't it?
Over the road from my flat in London was a really famous butchery called Lydgate's, and at Christmas, the shop with all its pheasants and everything still with feathers and things, all dressed and dressed meat, and of course it was dark and the lights were on and it just looked incredible.
Oh, that's really right. The Christmas lights down Regent Street and Oxford Street.
This was just a shop
in England.
And on a dark winter's afternoon. But the food.
Ah, roasting Cheshire, the roast chestnuts you could buy in the street.
Yeah.
It actually snowed the first Christmas. I was in Britain, and I went on my bike just to see the sights on Christmas Day, and I had nobody else to go and see it. And I went to see, as you said, and the colour of the snow and all the lovely Christmas lights and things.
Yeah.
Now, that's another thing. In England, if you have a big celebratory meal like that, or even maybe a large Sunday lunch, the whole idea then, well, you've had a big meal, now you have to walk it off. So, on a cold, crisp day, you've had a big meal, you go out, you go to a park or something, and the trees without any leaves on and a few crows flying around or whatever.
It's not all that bright, but it's very dark, and scene with white snow, everything stands out beautifully.
In the middle of winter, I found you could go to school and it would be dark, and you're going home after school and it's dark.
That's the only snow Christmas I had in my lifetime.
Well, we didn't often have white Christmas even in the north of England, actually. And I think now it's even less likely. But
they tell me, in hindsight, that 1961 Christmas and the 62 Christmas, I just must have got a 40
vote. There was an exceptionally cold year.
Yes.
Now, was it 62 or 63? Because 62, 63. Because obviously winter's over the new year. I remember because we had in our schools in winter when there's snow, we'd trample it down to make slides of ice.
Yes.
And I remember in that particular winter, the slides we made were still there as ice in March, and we were just getting sick of it by then. Because snow, when it first falls, it's really nice. It's quiet. It's actually more insulated, so it feels more comfortable and less humid than when it's just cold and wet. Mm. So that's very pleasant. But with lots of walking over, it gets trampled, turns to slush, it's dirty and so on. And then with the ice, it's nice for a while, but then it's just something you just slide on when you don't want to. Snowball fights, which you get into all that, and sled. There wouldn't be much skiing in England because there wasn't enough snow, but sledges. Mm. You grow up with sledging, and as soon as you've got enough snow for sledging, you go out for that. That was really good fun.
I was coming down over that one in the morning, it was either the 24th or the 26th of December, on that horrible, wet, cold Christmas. Mm. But it was good to be in.
Yeah,
the trains are going. You can always hear the trains going.
Yeah.
And here's me coming round. Nobody on the roads except me on the bushfire. And I struck a dark patch of the road. And
black
ice. It up, and it went just like that. My bike front wheels. I slid.
It's just melted and frozen again, so you can't see it. Yeah, but it's just. And driving along in that is skidding one way and another. Yeah. And in fact, they used to the way they'd get, because they'd say in Britain, how come in North America you get snow and they can clear it away? Well, it's so rare in Britain that you're not going to have all the equipment there just for the odd few occasions. But they would spread grit and salt on the road, and that would melt the snow, but it also caused the cars to rust. So a five-year-old car could be full of rust. And now they've got special treatments for the metal, so it doesn't happen. Big problem with
cars. Is that the trouble with my arthritis?
Well, if you've had hip replacements and they're rusting now from that. But no, it was good having to me, the Christmas to New Year period in Britain, it was just a sort of time out from everything else. So you're just in a different headspace. And it was sort of that for some time in New Zealand, but then once you got the Boxing Day sales and everything, if you went anywhere near that, the whole magic of it was gone.
We always had Christmas crackers too. And so you're sitting around the dinner table with that silly hat on your head. And if you have small heads, like, often you end up with the
slide down on you.
Slide down.
I still make Christmas crackers. I make them, but we don't have a hat.
Right.
Do you have a silly joke?
Yes, I get the grandkids to create a silly joke. Yes. They love it. They create the silly jokes, and then we put that in there.
So when you were young, did you get... all your presents in a stocking or something, or with a
pillowcase.
We get a stocking to keep us quiet when we first wake up, so the parents can sleep in. And then a few presents scattered through the day. So it's all the presents under the tree.
We got the pillowcase on the bed, and but then under the tree were the presents from grandparents.
So you got lots and lots, dear. A full pillowcase.
They
fill it with potatoes or something?
No, and it always had a bag of cherries in it.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Probably half a dozen cherries.
They keep the kids quiet during the.
Our Christmas tradition was the Christmas pillowcase had a little bag of cherries in it. Mm.
We got certain. In fact, you still see it in the shops here, in a way. Turkish Delight at Christmas. There are some things that we normally just see around Christmas in England. And Turkish Delight would be one. But you see that here as well. You could get it any time. But around Christmas, there's a lot of Turkish Delight there, especially for.
I've never forgotten giving one of the kids a teddy bear. And it filled the jolly. I thought they were being cheated. His sister got something filled with other stuff.
Oh, all the goodies. Yeah, we get sort of an orange or an apple and some small sweets, things to fill it up. Yes. And then one or two simple toys or something. Yeah.
We had a special sack, which is like a pillow slip, but it was just one or two things in it. Yeah. And then the prezzies under the tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you put out food for Father Christmas?
Yes. A Christmas feast, Christmas cake, and a Christmas mince pie.
Yes. Yeah. Father Christmas present stopped for us once I realised.
But you had your children.
I was the youngest, but you see, my older brother and sister got Christmas presents from Father Christmas.
I was the oldest. I had to just keep quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website. And a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.